We exalt you, O God, in this place. Jesus, the risen Savior, alive today, seated at the right hand of God, King of kings and Lord of lords, coming soon to receive your church. We thank you and we praise you tonight, Lord. We give you glory and honor, and we do exalt you in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, how many of you know he's alive today, right? We celebrated that. This is the day we celebrate it. But it's something that's true every day, not just on one day. Every day he's alive. Glory to God. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Good to see everybody that's here tonight. And we know that God always has something for us as we come together. We just believe God. Do you believe God with me tonight? Amen. Let's believe God that you'll hear something that will help you. And not just something that I feel like I want to say, but something that you need. All right? And so if you got your Bible, I want you to open up to Philemon chapter 1. While I'm thinking about that, at the end of the service, we are going to receive a second offering, a birthday offering for Mrs. Hagen. And just keep that in our mindset until probably Mother's Day there. I imagine we'll give her birthday's the 13th, but we'll give her birthday offering at that time. So up until that time, be bringing as you can and give an extra into that. But we will receive a second offering tonight at the end of the service. All right, Philemon chapter 1 and verse 6. That the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, I've used this scripture several times here lately in different places and here at Rhema Bible Church also in jumping off into some different teachings. But let me just to catch everybody up with some things here, I want to look at the three words here, three different words, communication, effectual, and acknowledging, here just briefly. The word communication there means your partnership, your fellowship, or your participation. He talked about how he'd been praying for them, and he prays here. And so if Paul prays this for this man, Philemon, you can pray this prayer for any Christian, all right? So we can pray that our partnership, our fellowship, our participation, of our faith may become effectual. The word effectual there is active and powerful. That it would become active and powerful by the acknowledging, the recognition. The word acknowledging means recognition. It also means to have full discernment, acknowledgement, precise and correct knowledge concerning every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, I didn't give Jordan this in the Amplified. I didn't tell her, but I'm going to go ahead and read it to you. It says, and I pray that the participation in and the sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory. Now, in thinking about that and looking at this for tonight, I want us to talk about this every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. How many of you know we're in Christ? If you're born again, what does 2 Corinthians 5 say? If any man be in Christ, they're a new creature. I remember on June 30th, 1980, when I confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord. I grew up in church, but no one ever told me really I needed to be born again. I started hearing some things about it. We had a lay witness mission in our church, and people started talking about it. First time I ever heard anybody refer to God as Father. You know, it's kind of weird, you know, but we didn't talk about Father. We had a God. We didn't have a Father in our church. I don't know what church you are. I'm just talking about my church. Don't want me to talk about your church, do you? But I remember, got a copy. My dad had given me a copy of Brother Hagin's book, The New Birth. And as I read through that, I realized there wasn't anything in there that was really, I had been taught against. In fact, I had, quote, I had said the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed growing up, you know, every Sunday in church, you'd said one of those. And it basically said the same thing in it. But I was never told I had to act on it personally. But after reading that book, The New Birth, you know, I realized I had to do something. And so that night, November 30th, 1980, I said, it was in front of a group of people. Now, I could have done it privately, but there was a Bible study. And my parents wanted me to come, and so I went to the Bible study, and they sang a few songs, and they said, anybody got anything they want to say? Now, I don't know. You know, I knew all these people, but, you know, it's my first time at the Bible study. And usually, your first time at a Bible study, you should be quiet. But I wasn't. I said, well, I just want everybody to know that that I believe God raised Jesus from the dead and that Jesus is my Lord. When I said that, something happened. I knew something took place. I changed immediately on the inside. You couldn't tell on that, but I mean something on the inside took place. What happened? I became a new creature in Christ. The moment you're born again, you're brand new. You're a new species of being, in other words. You never existed before until up to that time your spirit was separated from God. It was full of the sin nature. But when you got born again, you're a brand new creature in Christ. Amen. And you know, sometimes we need to recognize and acknowledge that still. I'm a new creature in Christ. He said, every good thing that is in you, in Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. All things are of God. A new man, somebody that never existed before. The old man is dead and gone. Amen. We're new creatures in Christ. Well, not only that, as we read through the Bible, we realize that not only are we in Christ, He is in us. He is in us. I remember I was in the airport in Amsterdam, headed to Kenya, and this was a trip I was on by myself. I've taken a few. Most times I have somebody with me or a group of people, but this time I was by myself, and so I had some extra time there in the airport, and I went into the shop they had there, and it had a lot of books, and I was looking in the business section, different things, and I saw this book about maximizing your strengths, and it kind of caught my attention. And as I looked at it and realized this really wasn't written by a Christian, although he never mentioned anything, and I read it, but there was so much to it that you almost thought this guy's got to have some background, but he never brought it up in the book. But he mentioned something in there that I think is a very biblical teaching. And that is, in this book, Strengths, he said, look, he said, all of us have certain strengths. And he said, it really is a waste of our time. And he was talking about for the business. It's a waste of your resources in a business to try to develop people's weaknesses, find people that have the strength, and put them in that position, and you develop your strengths and hire your weaknesses. I thought, well, start thinking about that. And then you go to the Word of God and you start seeing, He's talking to us. He said, your faith will become effectual, active, and powerful as you recognize and acknowledge every good thing that is in you. Every good thing. Now, that doesn't mean when God tells us stuff like He does in Ephesians 4, stop lying, that we don't deal with that, all right? But you realize on the inside, in my spirit, it's all good. It's from God. It's of God. All things are of God, the Bible said. And we need to spend the majority of our time developing that and acknowledging the good in us and what He's placed in us. That's why Brother Hagin spent so much time talking about who you are in Christ, in Him realities. Study it. Major on it. I would recommend everybody get that little blue book or boo book, everyone you want to get. Pastor Hagin gives them out every time he has an altar call, right? In Him. I recommend, and I tell our students this at school, but I tell people individually, take that book, look up every one of those scriptures, read them. Then get you a notebook and write out every one of those scriptures. Write it out. Then write it out and make it personal for you. By the time you do that, you're going to have a good understanding of who you are in Christ, what it means to be in Christ. Acknowledging every good thing that is in us. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. So instead of, listen, now, if you go to a secular, not a Christian bookstore, but you can there too. But if you go to the, how many of you go to the self-help, ever been in the self-help area of a, man, there's books after books after books after books after books there. And unfortunately, a lot of them spend time trying to get you to fix yourself and to find out where you're weak. Well, you're here, see, here you are, and you're weak here. And boy, you better fix this or you're going to be. But you know, that's not how covenants are made. You look in the Bible, a blood covenant, even in biblical times, are made based on strengths and weaknesses. See, if I got a strength in an area and you got a weakness in an area, you need me. But then you're strong in an area that I'm not, I need you. And so let's get together. Because if we're together, then we're strong in all those areas. Right? You know, I use this illustration. You know, if you hold your hand up, every finger there, let's use, you can't, because you can't bring your thumb, but all your fingers are strengths, all right? And that area inside there, the between the fingers there, where the web, that's a weakness. Well, if I match my strengths together, right? I mean, a 3-year-old little boy can come up there and knock my hands apart, right? But if I match my strengths to my weaknesses and do this, then I'm strong. And you can come up all you want, Trey. We're going to wrestle. All right? Because I'm just going to hold my hands like you can probably pull them around all you want. And while you're trying to pull them apart, I'm using what I got left. I'm kicking you. I'm scratching you, you know. I'm doing whatever I can to get. But you're not. This is strong. You see? And so that's what sometimes, you know, some of you married folk, you'd be getting along a whole lot better if you just match your strengths and your weaknesses instead of griping at each other because you're not strong in this area. Will you be strong in that area? Now, if you're both weak in that area, God help you, but no. Thank God we have God, right? Have his help. Do you find 1 John 4:4? And you are of God, little children, and overcome him, because greater is he that is where? In you than he that's in the world. You see, every good thing that's in you because of Christ is greater than anything that's in the world. We've got the greater one on the inside of us, the mighty Holy Ghost. See, greater is the peace in us than the turmoil that's in the world. Greater is faith, because faith resides. You got to think, greater is the faith that's in me than the fear that's in the world. Amen. He said acknowledging. Well, how did I, go back to my story, how did I acknowledge that Jesus was my Lord? I believed it in my heart, and I did what? I had to say it with my mouth. Until I acknowledged it by saying it, it never took place in my life. I realized as I read that I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I mean, I'd grown up all my life, you know, in church believing that. But I had never, ever, you know, come to the place where I said, Jesus, you are my Lord, based on the fact that you are alive. I believed he was alive, but I never acknowledged it for myself. Amen. Every good thing that's in us, the greater one is in us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Now, how many of you know fruit grows from the inside of the tree out? It shows up on the outside, but it comes from the inside. So let's go over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. These are good things that are in us, but we need to acknowledge them. Not just, and then again, it's, you know, it's not just talking the game. You got to walk the game too. Okay, it's not just talking. Then as I talk about it, as I put it into practice, when I have situations, for instance, when turmoil, when everything around me is going crazy, I have to practice peace. All right, how do I start? By speaking peace, first of all. What did Jesus say when the storm was raging? Peace, be still. right? And the wind and the waves stopped. And the disciples wanted to know, what kind of man is this we're with? He was a God man, speaking like his father speaks. But he acknowledged, see, that peace. All right, look here, look at these things here. And of course, we'll just comment. We don't have time to do an in-depth study tonight on these, but we do want to mention them. Verse 22, he talked about verses 19 through 21, the fruit that comes from the unborn again person, what comes out of that spirit. But now here talks about the fruit of the spirit. Remember, this is the same spirit. And really, this is the fruit of the recreated human spirit. We know the Holy Spirit's involved, but this is in every believer. Tell your neighbor, these things are in me. All right. Now, these are good things, right? And we have to acknowledge them. We have to have understanding of them. We need to have, as we said there, we need to participate with it. We need to practice it. We need to acknowledge and have correct and precise knowledge of it and fully discern how these things are in us. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The love of God. See, the fruit. Fruit comes from the inside out again. An apple tree grows apples because it's got its apple tree from the inside out. Okay? You know, banana trees grow bananas because from the inside out they are a banana tree. Well, from the inside out, we've got love. Romans 5:5 says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's in us. It's in us. We have to acknowledge it. This past Wednesday night, you can get the full teaching if you want. We talked about steps to actually living in that love, walking in that love towards others. For first of all, pray. Paul prayed that our love, that we would increase in our knowledge, increase in our discernment in love. So we need to pray concerning that ourselves and be led by the Holy Spirit. You've heard Mrs. Hagin talk about her quest on, you know, learning how to forgive. I think the next key is that once you get there is then start praying for people. Praying for people. The Bible says pray for your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Now, you see, we understand as Christians, we don't wrestle flesh and blood. But other people don't know that. They want to be your enemy. How do I love them? I pray for them. Paul would talk about, he talked about the Christians. He said, I always give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. Have you ever noticed it's hard to think bad thoughts about someone you're thanking God for? And it's extra difficult to take actions out of love and speak words out of love concerning someone you're thanking God for. Amen. Now, how in the world, brother? I mean, how in the world, brother, am I going to thank God for that person that on my job that has just made me their enemy? Well, you're gonna have to, brother, sister, you're going to have to get down on your knees. You're going to have to take the word of God, and you're going to have to pray, Father, I pray for them. If they don't know you, send a laborer into their pathway. Father, I pray for them. I pray that everything I do be led by you. I pray for them, Father, that you would show them and manifest your love, that they would have no doubt that you love them and that they need a Savior. That Savior is Jesus. Father, I know it's your will that everyone come to the knowledge of you. Amen? Father, I give you thanks for them. I thank you for brother or sister mean as dirt. I thank you for them. You know what I'm saying? I thank you for them. I thank you because of them, I get to practice my love walk. And then when you see them, you smile. See, you're practicing. You're acting. And then you're going to say, Father, I love them. Why? It's in you. But the acknowledgement is you've got to act on it. And you've got to speak it out of your mouth. Amen. And then you got to be led of the Lord. You know, don't be, you know, well, I love you with the love of the Lord, brother. You know, that's just weird to them. Some of you are laughing. I think you've done that. Or, never mind. Love, joy. Glory to God. You know, joy is there regardless of the circumstances. The joy of the Lord is our what? Strength. In His presence is fullness of joy. Well, He's in me. I've got the fullness of God in me because He's in me. God, the Bible says, in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and He's in me. And if in His presence is fullness of joy, I'm walking around full of joy. Now, it's not different than being happy. Joy is a spiritual force. Happiness is a natural solical force. Happiness comes and goes. It's subject. But joy is a spirit. It's always there. Joy. The joy of the Lord. It's in us. I like when Isaiah said, you know, digging deep in the wells of our salvation with joy. Joy going down on the inside and bringing that joy up to the outside by praising Him, by singing unto Him. Hallelujah. By shouting unto Him. The joy of the Lord is it's in us. But, you know, if we don't ever acknowledge it, again, and also don't you think, as you read that, acknowledging that good thing is living in the reality of it. Joy. Peace. Peace. Peace is never, the God kind of peace is never, it doesn't mean a lack of struggle or a lack of turmoil. It means peace, solid calmness in the midst of the storm. But yet peace that's powerful enough to speak to the storm, and the storm has to stop. The peace of God. Where is it? Is it out here somewhere? It's already in us. You see, we are more on the inside than I think we've even allowed ourselves to think. We're more on the inside. So peace. Let's see, what's the next one? Uh-oh. And I say this for me just to get my attention. Long suffering. Now, I don't like that, brother. My Bible says patience. Okay, but I like this King James, long suffering. Because that's what you have to do when you're dealing with other people. The Bible says we're to be patient. It uses a different word, patient with God. You know, be steadfast. But with this, long suffering, it's talking about with people. He's long suffering for us. How many of you are glad that God didn't end it before you got in? Why? Because He's long-suffering, abundant in goodness and mercy. He's long-suffering. Woo, glory to God. Why hasn't Jesus come back? Because God is long-suffering, not willing that any perish. He's long-suffering. Well, we have to be that way with people. We need to be long-suffering with people. And it's already in us. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Now, you know, that this one, probably peace, well, probably love, well, joy, peace, long, all of these, you know, I encounter these every day driving in Broken Arrow in Tulsa. I have to operate these. And I'll tell you, sometimes I don't do a good job of it. Amen. Until I see that Rhema sticker on the back of their car. And I straighten up. We were talking about in Brazil, in the city of Recife, which is up the northeast corner, sticks probably as far east as you can get in Brazil. At nighttime, in certain parts of the city, they shut down streets because people ride their bicycles at night, and they ride in big packs, groups, and they're riding everywhere. And this guy, he was our host. He's driving us around. He said, I was stopped, you know, waiting for them to go by, and I'm mad, you know. I'm just mad because here I am. I'm stopped at the place because I can't go because of the bicycles. He said, now I'm mad. And he said, all of a sudden, I looked, and there went one of my pastors riding on his bicycle. He said, I had to repent. Oh, Lord. I was so... Amen. But long suffering. I like what I didn't put it, but in Ephesians chapter 4, verse uh, 2, it says, forbearing one another in love. I looked up that word forbearing, and it deals with this long-suffering. It means this. It means cutting people some slack, we'd say it today. Giving people the benefit of the doubt. Amen. Forbearing one another. Putting up with other people's faults. Forbearing one another. Now see, again, in order to do that, I've got to acknowledge I've got long-suffering on the inside of me. I can be long-suffering. You see, a Christian should never say, let's bring about patience, should never say, well, you know me, I'm just not a very patient person. Well, now who are we talking about? Are you talking about, so you're living out of your flesh then, I guess. Carnal, that's who you are. Carnal, just might as well say, I'm a carnal Christian. I'm carnal, that's me. Carnal Christian, that's me. No, we don't want to be that honest, right? But that's what we're saying. Because when he's already put it in us, and we're saying something opposite, we're saying, I want to do it my way, not God's. Amen. Quit pointing at your neighbor. That's all right. Long suffering. Glory to God. All right, let's look at the next one here. Oh, I can see this is an 8-part sermon. I can tell right now. Nine for gentleness. You know, the Bible says it's a gentleness of a man that makes him attractive. Gentleness. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we let the harshness of the world around us get on us. And gentleness. What kind of, I'm talking about the kind of, here's the idea, the kind of the picture. You know the way you are around a newborn, especially if it's your own or a grandchild. You know how gentle people are with a newborn. That's what we're talking about. How come we don't treat everybody that way? Well, everybody should know better. Well, okay, we're responsible for what we know. They're responsible for what they know. We can be gentle. All right, let's move along. That one doesn't go over big. Let's try this next one. Goodness. Being good to people. Being good to them. No matter what, I'm going to be good, Father. Thank you, Father, that goodness. Show me. Give me opportunities to show your goodness and to be good to people. Goodness. Then he says faith. Other translations say faithfulness, and I think this conveys the idea of faithfulness. You know, that's something that we don't see in society. Our society today is a whole lot of faithfulness. People, you know, again, ruled by your flesh, you know, your flesh, you'll make commitments and then not show up because your flesh doesn't want to. But faithfulness causes you, because it comes from the inside, see. I'm faithful, glory to God. See, it is required in stewards that they be found what? Faithful. That carries with the idea of trustworthy. There's a loyalty factor there. Faithful. Faithful, first of all, to God, right? But then faithful to people. Can you be trusted? Are you faithful? Is your word mean what, if you say something, is it as good as done? Are you faithful? Well, you are on the inside. See, that's a good thing that's in us. Because every opportunity we have, see, then we need to step out and act in faithfulness. They say, well, if I do that, it doesn't look... Look, the outward circumstances, remember, they're always subject to change. But God's word is true all the time. I can be faithful and trust God. But if I'm not being faithful, then I'm not going to be able to use my faith. I could be confessing all day, mountain move, but I'm living an unfaithful life, and it's not going to happen. Amen. All right, what's the next one here? Meekness. That's humility. Jesus said, come, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Now, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is a spiritual position of putting yourself in a secondary position to be a blessing, to submit yourself, to humble yourself, first of all, before the mighty hand of God, and say, God, you're God, I'm not. But notice that, again, this is in us. It's in there. Amen. It's in me. Meek. I have the ability, you have the ability to be humble, to be meek. What does that mean? It's not a, we don't make it about ourselves. Jesus, he said, He said, learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come learn of me. I am meek and lowly of heart. He's not saying I'm weak. Jesus, you know, none of us would say he rose from the dead, right? He wasn't weak, but he was meek. But Jesus never made anything about him. He always pointed to the Father. The Father in me does the work. See, that's a spiritual strength. That's a spiritual fruit. Humility. Where God always gets the glory. Now, the moment I make it about me, then I've walked away from this. But I have the ability on the inside not to make it about me. Now, unfortunately, a lot of Christians live life and it's all about them. It's all about me. It's all about me. Sometimes that's what I sing to people when they drive the way they do. It's all about you. You can ask my wife. I'll just break out sometimes in song. It's all about you because that's how they drive. People don't think about anybody else. Throughout my Bible, and God's been dealing with me for about 2 years now, writing in this certain Bible, who I've had this one out for about 2 years, writing different places where I see that, and I write. In fact, here's one in chapter 6 of Galatians. It says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I wrote next to it, it's not about me. It's about the other person that has the burden. See, it's not about me. That's humility. Then the last one is temperance, self-control. Self-control. It's in us. It's in me. It's in you. It's a good thing. And we need to acknowledge it. See, in the world operates according to lust of the flesh, the lust of the mind, or covetousness. In other words, again, making it about them, desiring things that are outside of really what God, even you can covet things that are of God, but they're not, you're going about it the wrong way. All right. You know, you could be single and covet a spouse, but you're not supposed to covet someone else's spouse. Right? That's going about it the wrong way. But temperance, self-control. See, we can develop that in our lives because it's in us. But first of all, like we said in Philippians, we have to acknowledge that. We have to have some discernment concerning what it is. And you know where that all is? It's all in the Word of God. Everything that I'm talking about, everything we need, the discernment, the knowledge concerning it. Like I said, we could spend weeks talking about each one of those. Take one of them at a time and spend weeks talking about it. But those are all good things that are in us. And he said, our faith, as we participate and activate, it will become powerful and effectual. Active and powerful. As we acknowledge these things, amen, and walk them out because they're good things and they're in us. So I want to challenge us all. Let's lay aside that, yeah, we all have weaknesses in there, but let's develop these strengths and see where we come out. Let's develop these things. I guarantee these things will fill the gaps, right? They'll fill the gaps of where I'm, because these are all things also, they're all active, powerful forces. They are effective, and they make, listen, fruit makes the tree attractive. Single people, you want to get married, develop these things in your life. Amen. No single people in here want to get married, I guess. All right. Quit looking, listen, you're looking for all this, and you're none of that. Uh-oh, did I say that? I've had them in my office with their list. I've had them in there with their list. Here's what I'm looking for. I'm reading that list. I'm thinking, dear Jesus, you don't even qualify. I told one guy, I said, but honey, if you find him, marry him quick. She went, well, what do you mean? I said, there's nobody. I said, where's your list? What is it you want to be? What is it God has? What are you supposed to do? Answer me that. Write me that list. See, I never thought of it that way. This particular person went that route, ended up finding a good husband. Good husband. They're doing well today. But that first time I saw that list, I was like, oh my. Amen. But see, fruit, what makes an apple tree attractive? The ripe, good, ripe fruit. No worms in it. But I mean good fruit. When you go to it, it's there. Why did Jesus curse the fig tree? Didn't have fruit. Supposed to have fruit. It's created to have fruit. Because of what happened in the garden, didn't have fruit at that time. See, we should have that fruit. Fruit. And notice this too. Remember, fruit is, the apple doesn't grow the apple for itself. It grows the apple for others. This fruit, yes, it makes us a better person, but it's not for us. It's for the benefit of others. Amen? Father, we just thank you and praise you. Father, we just looked a short time tonight in your word concerning acknowledging the good things that are in us. And Father, you place within us by your Spirit this fruit of the Spirit, the workings of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit in us. Father, I just pray tonight that you would help each and every one of us to discern rightly how to operate and how to put into practice the good things that are in us. Father, we give you all the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. We're going to go ahead and receive that second offering right now. If you want to write a check out, make it out to Rhema Bible Church, just put on the envelope, birthday or Mrs. Hagen. If you want a text to give, you can do it at 28950. Put Hagen space in the amount. If you just want to put cash in. If you want a receipt for your giving, you need to fill out the form. I'm going to do the text to give tonight again, as I did Wednesday night here. Let's see here. I had to change my text to give. I don't know if some of you might remember when I did that, but in my phone, I've got KWH, just his initials. And then for text to give, I had KHM. Well, I just saw the K one time and I pushed it. I sent my offering to Pastor, my text to give offering to Pastor. He's like, "What is this?" Sorry, Pastor. So I had to change it so I knew what it was, all right? So if you're texting to give him, again, you just put Hagen in there, space in the amount, and then it'll tell you that it's received it, and then it will acknowledge that it's there. Okay, great. You ready? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for Mrs. Hagen, our dear First Lady of the Church. Her birthday's coming up here. We want to be a blessing. We want her to know that we love her. We appreciate her. And Father, we honor her. You said, give honor to whom honor's due. We honor her. Thank you for the gift that she is, Father God, the gifts and callings you placed in her life, the gifts that surely have benefited us and do benefit us on a daily basis. And so, Father, we bless you for her life. And as we bring our offering, we do it, Father, just as a way to honor her and to bless her and to show her that we love her. So, Father, we thank you tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, for ushers, go ahead and serve the folk. As they're doing that, our prayer team's going to come on down and get themselves ready. At the end of the service here, when we dismiss, please, everybody, stay seated till we get this offering received. At the end of the service, we will, as I dismiss you, if you need prayer for anything, come on up here, the men to my left, ladies to my right. Ladies, talk to the ladies, men to the men. And they'll pray with you according to the Word of God, because that's where answers come from. Amen? All right. And I know we had some first-time guests. We're going to let them go here in just a minute, just as soon as our offering is received. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Found out just now that this morning the priest's 33-year-old son got saved this morning at Easter service. Hallelujah. Gave his life to the Lord. Thank God. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. That's so awesome. Yeah, so how was your Easter? Well, let me tell you. Amen. See, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus and someone else got resurrected. Several had a good altar call this morning, didn't we? That's awesome. Looks like they're about ready here. Connection team, if you go right now and find our first-time guests, wherever they might be, thank you for being here tonight. Give them a hand clap, our first-time guests tonight. Praise God. Got a special gift for you on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, the Rainbow Bible Church family. Don't make this your last time here. If you're looking for a church home, welcome home. Praise the Lord. All right. All right, let's all stand together, if you would. Amen. Well, you can be dismissed. Tell somebody before you leave, though, you got good things in you. All right, and you can be dismissed. Amen.